Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Running the option on first down. Hagan has it. He has room.
McKinley Wright from the logo. Got it. Oh, McKinley Wright
breaks a tackle. Touchdown. Touchdown. That's five for Chris Brown.
The defense of Tomlinson. Colorado is going to the NCAA tournament.
Stewart with time. Let's it go. He's got three people down there. The ball's up in the air.
Welcome into the DNVR Buffs podcast presented by the Colorado XOs. I'm Henry Chisholm, and today we get to talk a little bit more about football. I feel like it's been a while since we've done that. With McChesney going through all his stuff, going through the soccer stuff, I do have one note in particular from this morning that I want to get to. Talked to Kari Cooch, and he said that, basically he gave me a rundown of where everybody is on the line. And there have been like a couple of conversations about which spot people are working at, what this line's going to look like. So we're going to run through what he had to say, what Carl had to say as well, and then kind of like run with this lineup. I know we just did like a projected depth chart like a week ago, but a few things have changed. And so we're just going to touch on that stuff quickly, and this will be the last time we do that before we get the real depth chart, which should be out in a few days. And when that happens, we'll talk about that. I had a chance to talk to Guy Thomas a couple days ago now, and I'm going to play that interview. It was a good one. Talked all about like transition from growing up in Miami to going to Nebraska, to going to a community college in Mississippi, to coming to Colorado, and then kind of what he's been up to over the offseason, that kind of stuff. So that'll be at the end of the podcast, and that's the plan for today. First, though, the Colorado XOs, the presenting sponsor of this podcast, they also are a rugby team. It's currently the offseason. There's still cool stuff going on at Infinity Park and in Glendale. That's where they play. And during the off season, they have a whole bunch of events. In particular, they have some movies, some outdoor movies that I've heard are really cool. So definitely go check out the website, infinitypark@glendale.com, and see if there's anything that catches your eye. Okay, let's start with some of these quick notes from Carl, and then we'll move on from there. Honestly, kind of like a shorter... that's not even true. It wasn't like a short media availability. It's just that, you know, we got asked about like Jalen Jackson, the long snappers, that kind of stuff. He did say he thinks there's like two good long snappers now, and that makes him feel a little bit more comfortable. But in terms of the big stuff, here's what you need to know. He did say that the game is going to feel almost like it's unscouted, the game against Northern Colorado on Friday. And the reason for that is that there just isn't any tape on Northern Colorado at this point. Obviously, Ed McCaffrey's the coach now. He's never coached college football before. He was a good high school coach, and he brought over a bunch of his other high school coaches to come coach this college team. That means that it's kind of an unscouted game, because you really just don't know what to expect from them. And Carl said that means, you know, you just have to figure out what's going on the fly and make adjustments and make sure that everything works out in the end, even if you don't necessarily know, you know, are they going to come out and spread looks? Are they going to try to pound the ball up the middle? You just don't really know. I think he said that was Wednesday during the Blake Street Tavern, all the coaches media day thing. He said that it really doesn't help to go back and look at what Valor did under Ed McCaffrey, just because he's not going to be running a high school offense for a college team. Personally, I agree with him, but I do think that maybe there is a chance of that, especially considering it's such like it's a low end FCS team, if we're being totally honest. So that side of things is definitely interesting. You know, Max McCaffrey being the offensive coordinator, also just interesting. Max was a Bronco a couple years ago. I don't know that he has much coaching experience at all. So they just really don't know what to expect. Still, that doesn't necessarily mean, like, be concerned about the game, but it does mean that it'll be kind of fun to watch what changes defensively based on what they see. He also was asked about Dylan McCaffrey in particular. So Dylan McCaffrey obviously grew up around here, went to Michigan as a quarterback, and then transferred this offseason to Northern Colorado to be with his dad. And he's going to be their starting quarterback. And so Carl was asked, like, have you watched much of him? And Carl had, he broke a little bit of news, I think, here, saying that, yeah, actually we've watched a lot of him, because when we heard he was transferring from Michigan, we thought that maybe he would be the kind of guy that we'd want to bring in here to see you. And I know I hadn't heard that. And so he said, yeah, we were watching the film, getting the measurements, doing all that kind of stuff. And he didn't really say what happened there, whether that's like, you know, Dylan just didn't have interest because he wanted to go put up huge numbers for his dad, or, you know, they wound up saying, yeah, we'd rather just have JT. And so they went after JT instead. Who knows? But that to me was kind of a surprise to hear. In hindsight, you know, it does make sense. Like, when you're thinking about the transfer portal quarterbacks, and then this one kind of fits the mold of being, you know, they're going after guys from Ohio State, Notre Dame, and all that. Michigan right now, not quite on that level, but, you know, maybe fits that sort of mold. And on top of that, with the Colorado ties, it would make sense to go after him. Let's see. Said a depth chart is probably on the way. Beginning of next week, it's kind of what we expected, but, you know, he said it, which makes it feel a little bit better. He also said that there were a few jobs that are still up for grabs. Not really a surprise. He'd said something similar less than a week ago, I think, about a week ago. But he still hasn't figured out who the starter is at tackle, who the starter is at outside linebacker. And, I guess the last thing from Carl, I asked him, like, you know, you haven't, like, come and said that you had a bad practice, you were disappointed in practice. And he said, like, yeah, no, they've all been good, and said they haven't all necessarily been perfect. There's a lot of things that you can try to fix and that kind of stuff, but there haven't been any just, like, bad practices. And so that's interesting, considering camp is over at this point. And again, he attributed that to just the team recognizing what the expectations are from this coaching staff, which is something that he's brought up over and over again, kind of what made it so much tougher last year than it is this year, just because they don't know what they're expected to do. And what they're expected to do is have good practices. Let's run through some of this stuff from Kari Cooch, and then we'll talk about where that leaves the depth chart. Couple little notes. You know, he's working on a master's. real happy with Shannon Turley. He said Max Ray has the best football IQ of a newcomer that he's ever seen. That kind of makes sense considering that, you know, he's played a little bit before at Ohio State. He should have a good football IQ, but still, Kari was really, really impressed. Said that even though Max is playing tackle and Kari's playing guard, it's still useful just to, like, hear what he has to say. And you can do things like call out where the pressures are coming from, do those sorts of things, just because he has a good feel for all of that, which is what you want to hear. You know, we know that he's a really big dude, and, you know, he's should be a good tackle, but to hear he has the mental stuff is definitely good. He also said, right now I'm working on the left with Jake, and then Casey and Kanan are competing at right guard. And so with Jake Wiley, that means he's at left tackle. Kari is at left guard, obviously. Colby Purcell's at center. And Casey Roddick is probably your starter at right guard, but he's still coming back from the sickness thing. So who knows where he actually is at this point in his recovery. And because of that, I think that brings Kanan into the picture a little bit more. Still, I think Kanan's a very capable starter. Casey's probably just done a little bit more. And then right tackle, that kind of leaves Max Ray, most likely. You know, you'll remember I had Max at left tackle. I guess this still kind of makes sense because it's Jake Wiley and Frank Philip competing. We'd heard that they were going to flip Frank Philip to the left side after playing right tackle last year, but that was before Max Ray got into the program. And so with Max Ray coming in, I kind of thought that they might let Frank stay on the right, move Max over to the left. But no, it sounds like, as of right now at least, that Jake Wiley, Frank Philip competition is at left tackle, and then you've got Max Ray on the other side. Again, we'll see how all this shakes out when the depth chart comes out in a few days. And who knows, maybe Carl still doesn't know who the tackle is because Frank is still coming back from injury, or, you know, with Casey, they might not know the guard spot yet either. So there could be some oars on there. And honestly, when it comes to the offensive line, I'm not sure that I'm going to really trust what's on the depth chart until we see five guys out on the field on Friday. Yeah. But that was kind of the big stuff from Max. And that's basically all I have today. Because I don't think there's really any other changes to what I expect on the depth chart. Yeah, nothing's really come up that's made me want to change anything. We will be getting that depth chart here in just a few days, though, and that's going to be a bunch of fun. Before I let you guys hear from Guy Thomas, it was a lot of fun talking with him. I want to tell you about Hassle Cattle Company. If you haven't checked out HassleCattleCompany.com yet, you're missing out. They have all sorts of great meats. It's a fourth generation cattle farm out of Texas. It's Wagyu beef, but they make it affordable for just about everybody and then ship it to anywhere in the United States. They have all sorts of great products, the beef jerky, beef bacon, steaks, just all sorts of really good stuff that you should absolutely try. And if you want to try, you can come down to the DMVR bar, check all that stuff out there. We've got a bunch of different Wagyu burgers, and their Wagyu burger has won awards before. It's really good stuff. And right now, you should head over to the DMVR Sports Twitter page, click the link in our pinned tweet, because Hassle Cattle is giving away a $200 gift card and a cooler to a lucky winner. All I've got to do is head over there, sign up, and you can get your free money and pick up a cooler too. If you're ready to just make your own order from HassleCattleCompany.com, that's H-A-S-S-E-L-L CattleCompany.com, use the code DMVR10 at checkout and save 10% off your entire purchase. It's a great deal. You won't be disappointed. The NFL is back, and DraftKings an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new players a can't-miss offer for week one. All you got to do is bet $1 on any NFL game during the first week of the season. You get $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. Take advantage of this limited time offer now. It really is a great app. It's where I do all my sports betting. Oh, I might as well say this right now. DraftKings pick of the week, Broncos to cover. They've been on fire. Just take it, and you won't be disappointed. Yeah, there's so many great promotions, though. They give odds boost. College football is also back, and they gave out a 33% profit boost for a three-leg parlay. So I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to make my three bets and make a bunch more money. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code DMVR and receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any week one game. That's promo code DMVR to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Also, Ball. Ball does so many awesome things. They make all of the cans, basically like the most cans of any company in the entire world. They do a whole bunch of like aerospace sort of things. It's all great. Oh, they sponsor the Nuggets and Avalanche and the Ball Arena, which you've probably heard of. And right now, they are hiring. All you've got to do is text GOLDEN to 77222. You'll get linked to all of the open positions. You can also go directly to jobs.ball.com and search for GOLDEN. That's jobs.ball.com, search for GOLDEN, or simply text GOLDEN to 77222. All right, here is what Guy Thomas had to say when I talked to him a couple days ago. Oh, plus Darian Hagan jumps in and pretends he's Guy for the first couple seconds here, just so you know what's going on. Oh, and JT was standing next to him laughing, which is good to see considering his life at this point.
Practice today.
It was great. I ran around. I made plays. I was very physical. I set the edge. I'm long and strong, and I mean the business.
What do you think of the new strength coach?
I love him.
Yeah.
Coach Shirley, you know, he talked about, you know, he got me in good shape. This is the best I ever felt in my life.
Yeah. Okay. So you're in this competition for the starting job. What's that like? You know, having what you're like 4 weeks into this camp, 3 weeks in, competing, trying to get that.
I try not to think about it. I just come to work, you know, put in the work, do what coach tell me to do, and let them make the decision.
Is it tough competing with guys and then spending all day with them, being in the locker room, being in meetings and all that?
Yeah, it's definitely tough competing, but, you know, we see each other every day. You know, we respect each other, we love each other. Take advice from each other. So it's not hard like being with the guys you compete in, it make it more fun.
Okay. You guys switched to like the one gap system last year. In year two, when you have kind of that more attacking role, less read and react, do you feel more confident in that?
I definitely do because I'm a fast guy. I can get off the ball fast, quick. You know, I'm a big guy too. I'm strong. So like just getting off the ball and not reading, reacting, it's just my playing style.
Huh. You got here a little bit late. You know, Nebraska first, and then to JUCO, and then here. Can you just kind of, first of all, why Nebraska in the first place? I think Buffs fans might have a little bit of an issue with that.
Well, Colorado didn't really recruit me. Coming out of high school, it wasn't really on me. I always liked the Colorado.
Huh.
You know, when Colorado offered me, I was like, wow, I'm finna get to go see the mountain. But the coaching back in 2017, you know, when I graduated, they wasn't really recruiting me heavy.
That was Miami, right?
Yeah, out of Miami.
Yeah, they don't go out there much.
Yeah, they don't.
Huh. So the mountains were like kind of the draw for you?
Yeah. Because I grew up in, you know, Miami, Florida.
Yep.
It's a totally different place. Uh-huh. You know, Colorado is beautiful. You know, got a lot of, you know, beautiful scenery. I love this place. You know, if I would have came here on an official visit as a, you know, coming out of high school, I think Colorado would have been it for me.
Really? Yeah. You like hiking, hunting, like?
I did everything, pretty much. I did hiking. I did, I get the name of it, tuba, scuba.
Oh, scuba, yeah.
Yeah, scuba. And I also, like, went, you know, bike riding along the trails and stuff like that. I'm still looking to do new things, too, you know, on my free time.
Do you like fish and stuff?
I never really fish. I love to learn. I never really fish before.
Okay. Who do you hike with?
Just friends.
Okay.
I met a lot of friends outside of football who would take me out, you know, on trails and everything like that, which is, this is nice.
Oh. Where do you think you'll stay in Colorado, like when you're done with football?
I don't, it just depends. Okay. If I have an opportunity to stay here and, you know, and do things, I would. It really depends on what's ahead of me.
Yeah. That's gotta be a big transition though. Like leaving the kind of like southeast to come all the way out here. Was that tough at first?
Well, yeah, it was tough. It was definitely tough. I did a lot of traveling. I went to Nebraska from home. And from Nebraska, I went to Mississippi. And from Mississippi, I came to Colorado. So I did a lot of traveling. And it is hard traveling, but you know, I got situated, I got adjusted, and everything's fine.
Yeah, I know there's been some other guys on the team who've really struggled with transitions like that. Like Ashad, for sure, has talked about that. Have you talked with some of your younger teammates who might be coming from different places about that transition?
Yeah, you know, this is college. You know, it's different from high school. So, like, I can see how I can be different from them. And them being a freshman, leaving their home. Leaving their mom, their dad, their family. I can see how that's hard, but this is college and it's time to grow up.
Yeah. Yeah. Which transition was toughest for you? Was it from home to Nebraska, from Nebraska to Mississippi, Mississippi to Colorado?
It was definitely from Miami to Nebraska because I was a young guy. You know, I was immature. Huh. And I was definitely immature. That was the main thing, me being immature and not taking school as serious and not taking football as serious.
Okay.
I just wanted to have fun as a young guy.
Yeah. You excited that classes are back?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
That's not what I expected.
No, this is my last semester, so I'm ready to, like, finish. I'm ready to graduate. Now I'll be the first one in my family to graduate.
Really?
You know, me coming from where I come from and you know, the people in my family, like, we don't get this opportunity to, you know, go to college and get a college degree. And my brother, I have an older brother who played for Florida State, but he didn't finish.
Huh.
You know, and I'll be able to finish and be the first one to graduate in my family.
Huh. What position your brother play?
He played middle linebacker. He played middle linebacker for Florida State. He was on the team when they won national championship with Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah. You guys obviously talk about football quite a bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so when was that? You would have been in high school when he finished playing then?
My freshman year was his last year at Florida State. You know, it would have been crazy if we would have played on the same team.
Yeah.
But, you know, we obviously went our different ways, different paths.
What was that like? Like having a brother who was playing college football, like, was he giving you advice? Was he teaching you what he was learning?
Well, yeah, you know, he gave me a whole lot of advice, but he played a different position than I did. He played middle linebacker. I'm a guy who liked to put my hand in the dirt and get after the quarterback, you know, rush. So pretty much he would give me all the advice he could, but we played two different positions.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Wilson's the defensive coordinator now. What has that change been like?
It hasn't really been a big change. You know, I had about four DCs, four head coaches. My freshman year, Mike Riley, he got fired. My sophomore year, Scott Frost came in with a new staff and everything. So I can adjust well to, like, you know, new defenses and stuff like that. I've seen it before, and it's nothing new to me.
Okay. Playing across from Carson Wells, what's that like?
You know, Carson Wells, he's a veteran guy. He's a good guy. You know, he's something to chase. You know, he's the leader of our group. So just playing across with him, I'm wanting to compete with him, you know, even outbeat him if I could. And that's my goal right now. I want to be able to be on a level that Carson Wells on.
Okay. Any goals for yourself this season?
I'm looking to have the best season of my career. I'm looking to do a whole lot of good things.
Okay.
And I believe I can do it.